The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her, and if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I was hoping that we would have some children with us today because I wanted to ask them some questions. So, all of you, children of God, I'm going to ask you some questions before we get started on the actual sermon. So, first of all, how old were you when you first started thinking about getting married? Anyone?
20.
20?
Maybe 18.
18? 5 or 6.
5 or 6. That's the answer I was expecting, Loretta. 5 or 6 years old. And how long do you expect to be married? When you first started thinking about that, how long did you expect to be married?
Forever.
Forever. And why did you want to get married?
To have
someone by your side that you could trust. Anyone else?
Someone to love.
Any other reasons to get married?
Love and raise a family.
To love and raise a family. Yes. Exactly. That's why we get married. I know I asked my husband if I could ask him a question. He's shaking his head. Because I don't know when he first started looking for someone. I do know that when he first started looking, when I knew him, he had a list of what he wanted in a spouse. Did the rest of you have a list of what you wanted? You wanted that person to be what? What did you want your ideal spouse to be?
Strong and handsome.
Strong and handsome. All right. What else?
Kind, loving.
Kind and loving.
Rich.
Rich! Someone is being honest here. Rich. You wanted a spouse to be rich. What else did you want?
Healthy.
Healthy. We don't always get that, just like we don't always get rich. So then, let me ask you. I know my husband was looking for different things. He actually, I'm going to say this anyway. He was looking for his ideal woman who was going to be younger than he is, shorter than he is, a great person in the outdoors, and someone who had no children and wanted no children. And so he ends up with someone who is taller than he is, older than he is, with two kids. And not really that outdoorsy. But I'm perfect, aren't I? Aren't I? Close enough. Okay. Close enough. That's good. All right.
I can think of one more thing.
What one more thing can you think of?
That I would want somebody to be of the same religion that I was. And know and honor God the way I do.
All right. Someone to be of the same religion and to honor God the way that you do. I know that was important for me, was that I would not have married someone who was not a churchgoer, because it's just too important to me. Mm-hmm. You know, all the rest of it can be put to the side. You know, we grow older, we either grow more handsome or more beautiful in each other's eyes, or maybe not in the eyes of the world. We just grow more and more in love with each other in different ways. We have challenges throughout the course of our marriages, those of us who are blessed to be married. We have challenges that sometimes want to tear us apart. But to have a spouse who has that same relationship with God makes a world of difference, doesn't it? Well, I know a lot of people who don't want to preach on Mark 10, verses 1 through 10. They don't want to offend people. They don't want to hurt anyone with their teaching. So they plan to focus on what we see on the cover. Jesus blessing the little children. Because isn't that a safe thing to talk about? Jesus loving children. Jesus attracting children. The idea that you need to accept the kingdom of God as a little child. That's not what we're going to talk about today. Because doing so leaves the proverbial elephant standing right there in the middle of the room. You cannot read verses 1 through 10 out loud in church and then ignore them when you preach. Divorce is a difficult topic. No reasonable person enters into a marriage thinking that it will end in divorce, do they? Did any of you getting married think, well, one of these days we'll be divorced and I'll go find someone new? Did any of you enter marriage thinking that? I'm seeing heads go, no, of course you don't think that. Sure, there are some people who sign prenuptial agreements in order to protect their assets in the event of a divorce, but they are the exception. And to go back to Loretta's answer, little girls dream of the perfect wedding, don't we? The billowing white dress and the long train that needs to be carried by a multitude of our attendants. The pearl-encrusted veil that will hide the beautifully styled hair and the expertly done makeup until that magic moment when the veil is lifted and she looks face-to-face into her true love's eyes. All right, she may not imagine what that true love looks like. He's kind of an afterthought in this whole dream. But she does think about the other details, and she dresses her dolls and her teddy bears and plays wedding. Did any of you do that?
No.
No, I hear one no. Any other women do that as children?
Yes.
Did you? Did any men do that? No, they don't think about such things. That's why it's all about the dress, right? It's all about, you know, I did, even though I was not so sure that I was ever going to get married. I knew that I wanted to serve God, and I thought God might have meant for me to live a consecrated single life, maybe as a nun. But I dressed my Barbie and Ken dolls, and with my sister, we played wedding. I have never met a woman who said that in her childhood she played divorce. That she ever had Barbie or Ken storm out of that pink Barbie house with packed suitcases, get into the convertible, and drive away. Never once. I served for many years as the Deputy Commissioner of Civil Marriages for the County of Riverside, in Riverside, California. During that time, I officiated at approximately 600 weddings. I saw people marry for a variety of reasons, because they'd fallen in love, because they needed medical insurance, because they were about to have a baby, because they wanted all their children to have the same last name, because one partner was suffering a severe health crisis and they wanted to marry just in case their time together would be short. I had couples in their teens and couples in their 90s and everything in between. I had some say that they had delayed marriage because they didn't see the point of it, that it was just a piece of paper. But now something had come up and they decided to take that formal step and be married. I officiated at marriages of people who had known each other for only a few months and people who had been together for more than 40 years. I think about them and I pray for them and I hope that their marriages are long and happy. I know that many of those individuals were previously married or came from homes where their parents had divorced, and it may be that some of those marriages have not lasted. Not one of those couples ever expressed the thought that they felt their marriages might not be successful. Statistics indicate that almost 45% of first marriages in the United States end in divorce, and the average duration of a second marriage is 7.3 years for men and 6.8 years for women. I hope and I pray that my couples have had more success than those sobering statistics would indicate as likely. In today's gospel lesson, the Pharisees attempted to set a trap for Jesus by asking whether divorce is lawful. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, a man is permitted to divorce his wife if he finds her indecent or unacceptable, and he does so by writing her a bill of divorce. The Pharisees know this, of course, and Jesus knows that the area in which he is now preaching and teaching was once where John the Baptist preached and baptized, and where John was imprisoned and put to death due to his statements opposing the illegitimate marriage of Herod Antipas to his brother's wife. It is possible that the Pharisees are hoping that Jesus will make similar statements that could lead to his own imprisonment and death. But Jesus says nothing specifically about Herod, instead quoting from Genesis 1:27 and 2:24 to show that divorce is not part of God's plan. Under Mosaic law, a man could write a certificate of dismissal and divorce his wife for any reason or for no reason. He could divorce her if she failed to have sons, or if she burned the dinner, or if she argued with him, or if he decided that he wanted to trade her in on a younger model. A woman had little status without some man in her life, whether it was a father or a husband or a son. Divorce could leave her destitute. Jesus said that it was due to their hardness of heart that Moses wrote this law, noting that from the beginning of creation, God intended that people be in relationship. In the Genesis 2 account of creation, God, who has previously noted that all of creation is good, states that it is not good that the Adam from the Adama, the dust creature from the dust of the earth, be alone. Thus God decides to make a partner for the human. God makes a variety of animals, but none of them is fit partner. Then God puts the human into a deep sleep and does some surgery, making a partner that is bone of bone and flesh of flesh. Now, for the first time, the two creatures are assigned to gender, the Isha, the woman, and the Ish, the man. According to some accounts in the Jewish Midrash, what has actually happened here is not the removal of a rib, but the removal of a side, of half of this creature. For they state that when God created the first human, God created a human that was male and female, with the two parts turned away from each other. When God put the human into a deep sleep, God separated the two parts, making two from what had been one. And in marriage, two humans again become one. In divorce, they return to being two again. What we see is God has desired from the beginning that humans have this oneness of relationship, that they return to the original oneness of creation. After answering the Pharisees, Jesus goes into the house with his disciples, who ask him again about divorce. He tells them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her, and if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Those statements must have been very confusing to the disciples because they are contrary to everything that they know. We tend to pass over these statements without realizing how strange they would have sounded to those who, with whom Jesus was speaking. Adultery, in Jewish law, is an offense against the husband. It is an offense against his rights to his wife, which are more in the nature of property rights. While Roman law permitted a wife to be the offended party and to divorce her husband, Jewish law contained no such right. This whole discourse comes within the framework of a teaching on discipleship. Last week, we heard Jesus caution his disciples against putting up stumbling blocks in their own paths or the paths of others that might lead away from a right relationship with God. Here, he speaks about God's desire for humans to be in relationship with each other as well as with God. After all, how can we love the God we cannot see if we cannot love the neighbor, especially the neighbor in our own household who we can see? I'm reminded of an old story about a couple who'd been married for more than 60 years. They talked about everything. They kept no secrets from each other, except that the wife had a shoebox in the top of her closet that she cautioned her husband never to open and never to ask about. Well, one day, the wife became very ill, and the doctor said that it was unlikely that she would recover. In trying to sort out their affairs, the husband took down the shoebox and took it over to his wife's bedside. She agreed it was time that he should know what was in the box. When he opened it, he found two beautifully crocheted doilies and a stack of money totaling more than $25,000. He asked the wife about the unusual contents. Well, when we were first married, she said, my grandmother told me that the secret of a happy marriage was to never argue. She told me if I ever got angry with you, I should just keep quiet and crochet a doily. Oh, the husband was so moved. He was fighting back tears. Only two precious doilies were in the box. Oh, she had been angry with him only two times in more than 60 years of loving each other and living together. Oh, sweetheart, he said. Oh, that explains the doilies. But what about all this money? Where did it come from? Oh, she said, that's the money I made from selling the doilies. In a perfect world, we would find ways to channel our anger, and there would be no divorce. But this is not a perfect world. This is a broken world, broken by sin, broken by the hardness of hearts. We are broken people. We experience broken relationships, whether they are in marriage, in business, in our families, or with our friends and associates. We say things to each other or do things to each other that fracture our relationships and tear us apart. We stop treating our spouse with the same care and concern we did in those early years of marriage. We drift away from each other, physically or emotionally. Marriage is hard, as those of us who have ever been married know. The day-to-day challenge of living with another human being, of thinking about another's needs, can be wearing and wearying. Add in children, you have a whole different set of problems that can make married life difficult. Scott says he didn't have gray hair until he had to deal with children. The stresses of modern life make it even harder at times to make a marriage work. In some cases, marriages become abusive. It is not God's desire that any marriage end in divorce, but in this sinful, broken world, sometimes divorce seems the best option, especially when circumstances demonstrate that the relationship cannot be mended. We know that we are broken people in a broken world, but we also know that God loves us in our brokenness. When we are lost, when we are broken, God is still there, still leading and guiding us. And that is good news, that God loves us even in our brokenness. Perhaps especially in our brokenness. When we do not live up to our promises to each other, when we do not live up to our promises to God, when our relationships shatter beyond repair, when there is nothing left for us to cling to but God, we know that God is there still loving us, offering us grace and mercy. Let us pray. O loving God, we have sinned against one another and against you. Soften the hearts that are hardened. If it is your will, fix that which is broken in us and in our relationships. Be with spouses who are struggling in their marriages and with spouses who are finding marriage to be loving and fulfilling. Be with those who miss their spouses. Be with those who are contemplating marriage and those who are single. Love us into wholeness, Lord, and allow us to share that same love with others. Help us to find productive ways to handle the hurt, anger, and frustration we feel with those who are the closest to us. Amen. Now let us join together in our hymn of the day. Knowing that we are a chosen people of God, let us join together in our statement of faith. We believe we are chosen by God, our Creator, to participate in the ongoing work of creation by holding life sacred and being good stewards of God's gracious gifts. We believe we are chosen by Jesus Christ, our Savior, to participate in the ongoing work of spreading the good news of God's saving love and serving others in the name of the Lord. We believe we are chosen by the Holy Spirit, who calls us through the gospel to believe in Jesus Christ, gathers us as a community of believers to worship together and support one another, and enlightens us with gifts of love, forgiveness, and everlasting life. We believe the Holy Spirit nourishes our growth, preserves us in faith, and keeps us in God's grace forever. Amen. I want to thank you for sending your offering to the church or giving through online banking. Now let us join together in our offering song, Everybody's Got Something to Offer. Children and heirs of God's promise, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Holy One, you have raised up faithful leaders through history. Empower those discerning a call to ministry and all seminarians that they continue to be formed for the sake of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You have established a diverse and beautiful creation. Revive declining species and preserve endangered lands. Cultivate in us a sense of wonder for the world you created. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You desire for us not to be alone and to live in community with one another. Strengthen relationships between nations and people, that we celebrate and support one human family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You share in our experiences and struggles. Bless all who live with any mental or physical disability. Inspire creative communities, spaces, and environments that are accessible and hospitable. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You have established and nurtured relationships that extend beyond those gathered here today. Bless members who can no longer travel to worship with us, and remind us of their continued role in this community of faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You promise eternal life to all your children. Thank you for the people of faith who have gone before us. Strengthen our trust we have in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also pray for all who are on the prayer chain and for those that we name right now or in the quietness of our heart. For Dave and for Arlene. For all of these and for those prayers known only to you, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive these prayers, O God, and those in our hearts known only to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you.
Body of Christ given for you.
Body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
As you're able for the blessing. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and give you peace. Go now and live as chosen people of God. Let's join together in our closing hymn, We Can Make a Difference.
Thanks be to God.